One of the other things we're hoping to get to tonight is a discussion about the Apollo launch tower. As people may or may not recall, if they've seen the movie Apollo 13 or pictures of the old Apollo Saturn V and the launch pad, apart from being in flight, you always saw that picture of the Apollo Saturn V sitting beside a big red tower, which was at the Kennedy Space Center. Now, a little bit of background. The way that the Apollo system worked was, rather than have the tower sitting out on the launch pad permanently, they had a mobile platform with a tower attached to it. Then they wheeled that into the big white building, which is the vehicle assembly building. Then they assembled the rocket and rolled the whole thing out to the launch pad and launched. And then they rolled the pad back with the tower on it and did the thing again. At the end of the Apollo program, there were three platforms with three towers sitting on them. There were actually only two active launch pads, 39A and 39B. There was supposed to be three, but they, even back in the 60s when they were doing Apollo, they had some budget restrictions, so they didn't go to the three pads. What they decided to do is that the way that the shuttle architecture worked was to take two of those towers, cut them down a bit, and attach them permanently to the launch pad out at 39A and 39B. They also added a rotating service structure and removed the two towers from the mobile platforms. And you've probably seen the space shuttle going out on a grey platform. Well, that's in fact they're the same platforms that the Saturn V's were used. They did modify it. They cut some different holes in because the rockets were in a different position on the pad. But they used them all the way up till the end of the shuttle program for another 30 years. So they've had a lot of use out of those. In fact, they plan to use them again for the next generation of vehicles, whatever they may look like. Underneath that, there was a vehicle called the Crawler Transporter, and they're still being used. There's two of those. Going back to the launch towers, those red towers, there was one tower that was left intact on the launch pad and sat beside the vehicle assembly building until 1983. At that time, the people at management at Kennedy Space Center said, look, that tower, it hasn't been painted, hasn't been had maintenance on it. It's going to rust away. We're right beside the ocean here. It's a safety hazard. Let's chop it down, melt it down and get rid of it. At the time, then a bunch of enthusiasts and people in different spheres said, look, that's a historic tower. In fact, that was the one that was used to launch Apollo 11 and many of the other significant missions. So there was a plan there to actually not demolish it but cut it into pieces. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. The person we were hoping to speak to today, it was in fact involved in that very program to initially demolish the thing and melt it all down, but then the program or the requirements changed to de-assembling it with a possible future use. I'll leave it there. Hopefully we'll speak to Steve tonight. If not, perhaps we'll speak to him next week. But it's an interesting story, and Steve is a real character. So hopefully we can join him tonight or next week. So there you go. It's a bit of an interesting story.
Hello. And
now we are joined by Steve Mardigan. Steve.
Yes, sir.
I need to – you're live to air now, Steve. I messed up with the time conversions and we've switched over to daylight saving. So we've only got about 10 minutes left on the show, I'm afraid. Are you okay to go as we discussed?
Sure.
Fantastic. Steve, I gave everyone a little while ago in the show a background to the launch umbilical towers. And the fact that two of them were kind of recycled for the use in the shuttle program, one remained, and back in the early 80s, it was planned that they were to be dismantled and basically melted down. And that's where you came in. Would you like to give everyone a bit of an intro?
Yes, sir. Well, in 1983, our company was selected by NASA to tear the tower down. I'm not sure if your audience knows that the tower was suspended above the above the ground. It did not sit on the ground. It was actually mobile.
Yes.
And it sat on a giant. They called it a box.
Yes, on the launch pedals. Yes, yes, yeah. I gave them an introduction to the fact that now they're used for the shuttle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you see the shuttle move, or the shuttle sitting on top of this this structure, that was the same structure that held the Apollo launch tower. So the purpose was to remove the tower from the box so that the box could become part of the space shuttle program. And we won the contract. And shortly after we won the contract, NASA came back to us and renegotiated a contract with us to save the tower as opposed to tear it down. And
that was as a result of some pressure by some people to say, well, look, don't destroy it. Let's save it and try to do something with it.
The tower had actually been registered with the National Trust for Historic Preservation, which is also part of the federal government. So when you have a designation like that, you can't demolish the structure. So NASA, being part of the federal government, just ignored that order. Right. So as they awarded the contract to us, then the trust came in and threatened a lawsuit, which would have taken years to settle. And so the compromise was that our company would save the tower as opposed to demolish it in a manner that would allow it to be re-erected later.
Well, that would have taken a fair bit of planning or redesign of your process, I guess, on your side to do that.
Right. It was simple. It was actually a simple task because we deconstructed the tower in a much less complicated manner than it was reconstructed. The tower had 18 different floors, and we just broke it back, and we lowered each section, each floor section, complete with all the equipment and everything on it.
All right.
So it was a very interesting engineering problem in its day because I was led to believe, and I still do believe, there were only three cranes that had the capacity to do what we needed to do in the entire world, and one of them was in Australia.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one there was out of the three, only there was only one available, and so the crane we used to dismantle the tower actually sat on its own tower. So the towers were, the small tower that the crane sat on was actually higher, taller than the Apollo launch tower. And then the crane sat on top of that.
Oh, my goodness. That would have been something to see.
Yeah. We were, as I recall, we were almost 500 feet from the top of the crane. From the lifting apparatus, and our first lift was the service crane.
That yellow crane that sits on top, right in the very top.
Right.
Oh, yes.
And that weighed 100 tons, if I do the math right, that's about 2 million pounds.
Whoa!
And that was our first. Our test lift, so to speak.
Right. Now, so, before you go there, Steve, I believe you got an interesting story about that crane and the first time that you were up there. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. The it was a different time. The federal rules that governed the workplace were not as strict. And the trade that we worked with, the tradesmen, in the States we call them iron workers. I Wouldn't be surprised if you called them the same thing in Australia.
Oh, yeah, metalworkers, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they are, they were the last of a of an independent breed. They did things their way. When they were standing on top of a building that could be 300 or 400 or 500 feet high, you didn't really tell these guys what to do.
I remember seeing pictures of those guys in New York City walking on beams with no safety straps or anything. Is that, are they the same sort of guys? Was that you, Steve?
Yeah. So it was the same. It's the same mentality. And so when we were putting the crane together, I went up to the highest level, the 450-foot level, and when you look down, I mean, you see birds flying, and it was incredible. And these guys are up there working without any safety belts or anything like that. And I questioned what they were doing. I was not comfortable at all. And they told me to leave.
Now, I understand you saw something quite interesting from the top of that tower. Is that correct, Steve?
Come again?
You saw something quite interesting from the top of that tower.
Give me a hint.
One of the shuttle launches?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was another time. and very early on the project, it was a shuttle launch. And so they told us we couldn't work because we were inside of some designated area.
The blast zone, they call it, yes.
So my project manager and I, we went in early that morning because we had keys to everything, and we went in the tower, and we went to the very top. We thought that would be the best place to watch the launch. And, of course, we didn't, you know, we couldn't really tell exactly when it would they would fire the shuttle, but anyway, we did catch it. And as I'm watching the shuttle take off, all of a sudden my mouth opened and all the air was coming out of me, and I thought to myself, uh-oh, this is why we're not supposed to be here.
Oh my God.
And it was the shockwave from the shuttle. And we were probably about 2 miles, maybe 3 miles away.
Oh my God.
And the shockwave from the shuttle was that powerful that when it, because we were inside this, no pedestrian zone, so to speak.
Right.
And I know we've talked about that. It's a magnificent sight if you've never seen it. Mm. Something you'll never forget.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Listen, Steve, we've only got like a minute and a half to go. We'll have to get you back on board on the show because there's just so much to talk about. Do you want to just give a quick 90-second overview of what happened once that contract was changed over went from being the villain to the hero?
What happened was that the in the interim between negotiating the contract from demolition to salvage, some of the fellas that work at the center that were very interested in seeing the tower saved, they came and we met and we found out we had a lot in common. And it was through their instigation that I put a group together shortly after our contract was done and made a presentation to the center in Washington, D.C. at their headquarters to re-erect the tower.
Wow, that would be wonderful.
Unfortunately, I don't think politically they ever wanted it.
Right.
But it would have been a magnificent monument to technology, to man's triumph, maybe his greatest triumph.
Absolutely, we agree. Steve, afraid we're going to have to end it now.
Sure.
I will speak to you again, and we'll get you back on board. Thank you, Steve.
Have a great
night.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.